I'm happy now to welcome Edward Borens. He is the co-owner of Garcia Street Books. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate your inviting me to join you today.
Well, we are here on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of your tenure at Garcia Street Books, you and your wife, Ava Borens. You've owned the store for 10 years. And I thought it would be a wonderful time to talk about where the book world is at this point in history. It's certainly changing a lot because of electronic books, and we want to talk about all of that. How did you get into the book-selling business in the first place?
Oh, I started as an academic. I'm an historian by training, and I wrote history textbooks. And so I drifted into the book-selling world that way, as well as I had a friend who owned an art gallery in Toronto. I'm from Toronto, Canada. And he came up with the idea of opening an art bookstore. So we opened the bookstore together. It was the first art bookstore in Canada. And then that store grew into a general bookstore next door, and then Ava, my partner in business, co-owner of Garcia Street Books, and my partner in life, will be celebrating our 44th wedding anniversary on June 5th. Ava was involved right from the beginning. Ava came up with the idea of opening a museum shop as well, which was really way ahead of its time. So we had three stores side by side, and We remained with this business associate for several years, and then in 1979, Ava and I went off on our own and opened Edwards Books and Art in Toronto, downtown Toronto. And that that operation grew into, at one point actually, we were as many as close to 20 stores because we provided outlets for a junior departmental store. And we had a large warehouse operation, wholesale operation as well. But essentially, it was five large stores and one of Canada's largest independent bookstore chains.
And all of that happened in Canada. How did you find yourself coming to Santa Fe, New Mexico?
We visited Santa Fe in 1990. A teacher that had retired to Santa Fe in 1975 and had a profound influence on my life used to come to visit us in Toronto, and it took us 15 years to visit him in Santa Fe, and we fell in love with it. And we thought, if we're ever free of our three children and our business, we would consider living in Santa Fe. And by fall of 1997, we were free of our children and our bookstores. Our children, always say, usually it's the children who leave the parents, and this time it was the parents who abandoned the children, but they're old enough to be abandoned. We drove out here, and we never went back.
And so Garcia Street Books, which has been around for quite a while, I mean, it was here when I moved here 20 years ago, was for sale.
Everything's for sale in Santa Fe. We didn't realize it was for sale. That was 1997. We purchased it in May 2000. Ava had worked for another bookstore operation in the interim.
And so in those 10 years, the book business has undergone huge changes, as has the business of print journalism, which is a whole other story. But we have suddenly, comparatively speaking, suddenly the, first of all, rise of the internet and Amazon and the ability to buy books online and get them delivered very quickly and so on. And now we have electronic books and Kindle and the other electronic media for reading books. How does that affect your business?
Well, we are really in the midst of a revolution that is more profound than the development of the Gutenberg press. The reason I say it's more profound and it means it's much more widespread is because when the Gutenberg press was developed or invented, it was only a very small group of people who could afford to read. Reading was a luxury. Very few people were even literate, and books were very expensive. Now, books will become accessible to almost everybody throughout the world, globally, because books can also, and we'll see this in the future, it's going to happen to a much greater extent, a book can be read on a cell phone as well, and most people have cell phones. So we have iPads, we have Kindle, we have a new product in Canada that's been developed called Kobo. It hasn't hit the market yet here. It will have a profound effect. It's hard for me to predict. Ava and I are in a very fortunate position. The book business was really very good to us in Canada. We were able to support our three children, send them to the best schools and colleges. And here, I mean, here in Santa Fe, it has really been wonderful. That was the best decision we ever made, buying Garcia Street Books 10 years ago. And as a bookseller, I mean, Santa Fe is the only place I would want to be a bookseller in North America.
It's crazy. I mean, I used to live in Boston, and there was a little pamphlet when I lived there called A Guide to the Bookstores of Harvard Square, and there were travel bookstores and mystery bookstores and general interest bookstores, all of them independent. There's not a single one left in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in Harvard Square, and in Santa Fe, New Mexico, we have several independent locally owned bookstores.
Well, actually, I was reading the Santa Fe Reporter's annual manual. There are 20 independent bookstores. They vary in size, but what a great city. It's able to still support 20 great bookstores. When we came here in 1990, the first visit, we were just blown away. It was a busman's holiday because next to Ann Arbor, Michigan, Santa Fe had more bookstores per capita than any other city in the United States. So probably was one of the reasons we kept coming back, visiting bookstores in Santa Fe, and then ultimately moving here. But it's been wonderful being a bookseller here because our customers are so loyal. The demographic in Santa Fe is still excellent for an independent bookseller. How the future will develop, it's very hard to predict. If this demographic continues...
Do you mean the demographic being retired people, people who grew up with books in their hands?
People who grew up with books in their hands, exactly. I have some serious concerns about the younger generation. The kids are in school because they're so plugged into their various electronic equipment. I'm wondering whether they'll want to hold a book in their hands. It's a very interesting time. I mean, the rate of sales of books versus rate of sales of books that can be read on various readers is rapidly changing, and the electronic books are taking over. Now I'm talking about the nation. In Santa Fe, I mean, it's good. We have a good life here.
You're still selling books.
We're still selling books, and we're profitable. I think it looks good for the foreseeable future, but I'm just talking to our son before I came over here. He's a lawyer in Vancouver and a partner in a national law firm, a Canadian firm. I'm glad he's a lawyer. Our youngest son...
And not a bookseller.
And not a bookseller, exactly. Our youngest son is an artist, and that's not exactly an easy profession, but actually he's doing very well. Some of his work is in the National Gallery of Canada, and I believe he's the youngest artist whose work is there, so he can support himself. Whether I'd want him to be an artist or a bookseller, I think he's made a better choice, to tell you the truth. And our daughter is on her third career. She was a publisher, a very successful career as a publisher, and she was editor of largest circulation magazine in Canada, women's magazine, Chatelaine magazine. And now she's embarking on her PhD at the University of Toronto at age 40 with three children. All of them worked in the bookstore from the time they could see over the counter. They grew up with books. But I would be concerned, perhaps, if they moved here and wanted to continue our business. But even then, you know, I'm not sure what the future will be. The foreseeable future, I'm optimistic. Books are not going to disappear. I mean, there's always the panic, the alarm cries when the Book of the Month Club was formed in, I think it was the 30s. There was a retail book business. They felt this is the end. Everybody's going to buy through the Book of the Month Club. When television was came into rapid use, people felt this is the end of the movie industry. Well, we can see it's never the end.
Movies and books are still with us.
Exactly, and books will always be with us in a certain form, in certain types of books. Art books, I think, and that's one of the reasons I think we're thriving, because we have such a great selection of art books.
And children's books, too. I mean, little kids want pop-up books and colorful books and things that have a texture and a smell and all that kind of thing.
They do, but also I see our three grandchildren, well, the youngest is only one, but the 3 and the 5-year-old, yes, they certainly have books. But they love their electronic gadgets. So, and you know, remember, their mother is a publisher, grew up with books. So perhaps they've had a bit more encouragement than most children. I think it'll be difficult for art books to be used electronically. But the technology probably will develop. But at the main point, I mean, what's going to happen in people's homes? When people will go into the library, a Kindle will be on the shelf. I mean, there's nothing better than being able to pick up an art book or a book that's on your shelf. It's sort of like a friend, and, you know, you revisit it. It's quite different than sort of flipping through your Kindle or whatever.
Well, you know, there's a remarkably similar thing with music and DJing. When I started DJing Latin music and salsa music is more than 10 years ago, I think, around 10 years ago, and all you had was your CDs, and now everybody's got everything on MP3 on their computer and they DJ that way. But I sort of, the way I used to DJ was, oh, that CD with the pink cover, track 3 is really good. You know, you
exactly.
have developed a relationship with the objects.
Exactly. That's well put. You develop a relationship with the books. You mark the book. You turn down a page. You flip through it. And I don't think it's the same thing. But we'll see. I mean, bookstores will be around, but who's going to own the bookstores? I think that'll be an interesting question, because it's a wonderful business. I mean, when I decided not to join the family tradition of being lawyers, that was the best decision I could have made. And I mean, you meet the most exciting people. We have the events. The authors are fascinating.
You have wonderful authors at Garcia Street Books.
We love doing that. So in some ways, it's almost like a social activity. And there probably will be people in the future who have the means who want to own a bookstore as a hobby and really won't be terribly concerned whether it's a viable business. And then, just like many struggling artists and writers, people who want to take a vow of poverty, and they might want to open bookstores also. So it'll be interesting to see.
We're talking to Edward Borens, co-owner of Garcia Street Books, which is, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary at Garcia Street this weekend. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But how have Amazon and electronic books and so on affected your business? I mean, do you have any way of measuring that or having an intuition about that?
Yes. I can see that it's affecting the bestseller type, bestseller aspect of the business.
Meaning you don't sell as many bestsellers.
Right. We're doing better than ever with our sale books because it's a very specific talent in order to buy these books, and Ava is the buyer, and this is a business she's been doing now for almost 40 years, and she was known as the queen of, the technical term is remainders, these are the bargain books. You can't really access those electronically, so that business is actually way up. And the art book business, we're doing well, because you have to have a certain knowledge to be able to really know what art books to stock. Ava and I got into the book business through this friend who had the art gallery and wanted to open the bookstore. And art was our, and still is, our passion. I remember when we didn't have any furniture when we were first married and lived in Montreal, we bought art books. We'd sit and look at the art books together.
Sitting
and actually
on the floor.
Really, yeah. And then with a bridge table that somebody gave us for our wedding. So it was wonderful. We just, we love art. It still is our passion. So,
what is the art of art book buying? In other words, how do you know? I mean, in the Southwest, is it very heavily Georgia O'Keeffe and Southwestern artists, for example?
Yes, but just to give you an anecdote, there's a new book out on Robert Motherwell, the Open series. And I came into the store and I said, Dave, you're displaying this so prominently. Do you think you're going to be able to sell this? It has very esoteric poetry that goes with it. And Motherwell is certainly a well-known artist, but he's not like Picasso in terms of how well-known. Well, that book has been flying out of the store. It's a $65 book. It's an intuitive thing. I mean, Ava's in the store a lot more than I am. She knows her customers. I think that's the one of the secrets. And she knows what to buy. Also, over the years, I mean, the wonderful thing about bookselling, we've learned so much from our customers. You obviously don't know every book you have or every book that's out there. But you pick up. I mean, people come in, they place a special order for a book that we don't have. And that's another thing I have to mention. It is such a pleasure to be a bookseller in the United States. The system's about to change in Canada, but special orders used to be torture for us. Now, if we get a special, we can turn a special order around often in 2 days, 2-3 days a week. Most, unless it's a very obscure book. So the special order comes in, we look at it, and we say, hey, this would be good to stock. So you're constantly learning from your customers, especially in Santa Fe. You know, I can't stop praising the level and just our customers in general. They're so loyal. So knowledgeable. It's really a pleasure.
You know, the way you describe it, it's such a personal and intuitive and relational business that one wonders how big chains can make it work at all, because that's not their business model.
Well, for us, it's like giving a party every day, actually. That's the way I look at it. It's not working for the chains. The chains are being hit as hard or even harder than the independents. Borders was on the verge of going out of business, and then they managed to be refinanced to the tune of $700,000. Their stock has picked up significantly, but we'll see. But they are really hurting, and Barnes & Noble are hurting also, perhaps to a lesser extent. The companies that are really damaging the chains are the Costcos, the price clubs. Mm. They bring in a very, very limited title range and discount them so deeply, even deeper than our two national chains can do. And that's having a big effect on those businesses. But you're right. You come to an independent bookstore, you're going to have knowledgeable staff. I mean, one of the reasons it's such a pleasure being the owner of Garcia Street Books, we have the best staff. Again, it's an intuitive thing. They know they can match the book with the customer. Whereas if you walk into the national chains, you are greeted with blank stares.
Well, so if you go to Garcia Street Books and say, I'm looking for something for my sister who is a ballet dancer turned hospice nurse, they'll say, oh, I've got just the book for you.
Well, often customers will come in and they'll say, I'm looking for, and even before they can get the title of the book out, our staff and Ava know the customer so well, they'll tell the customer the title of the book customer is looking for.
That's crazy. What are your greatest sellers?
Our greatest sellers, now you mean?
Generally, I mean, what is, I mean, this is interesting to hear that this Motherwell book is flying off the shelves. What are the perennial favorites?
There it's a lot of the Southwest books. We do very well with Hampton Sides books, and the new one's doing well too. Actually, we're doing a benefit at Santa Fe Prep for the prep.
Yeah, we're going to have Hampton Sides on next week.
Oh, great! Good. Yeah, so a lot of the regional authors, it's sort of quirky because we don't have that many runaway titles. It's a little niche. If you come into the store and you look at the table of paperbacks in front of the counter, they're Ava's picks, and they sort of sell equally. So it's hard for me to say what is running out of the store.
So there's basically a variety of things.
It's a wide variety, and that's where the buying skill comes in. And that's a major difference between the independent and the national chain, because the national chain doesn't have a real breadth of titles. Even though the stores are big, they don't have the range of relevant titles that customers want.
Yeah, they might have a pyramid of 90 books
exactly.
same book.
Right. And we don't do that. I have a rule, our space is so limited that we just can only display a book in one space unless it's something very exceptional.
Now, you and Ava have been doing this your entire married life together. And if you don't mind my asking, I mean, it's a nice role model that the two of you have of an equal partnership, both in your business and in life.
Very much so. It was fun when we started in Toronto. I don't know why, but we used to go, and the business has changed so much, we'd have to physically go on buying trips. So we'd go to New York, and we'd be buying the bargain books. That was always one of our trademarks, our specials. And we'd argue three. They would say five, and we compromised maybe with four. And then we got smart very early on and divided our responsibilities. So Ava has always done the buying and the selling. She's the person you see in the store far more frequently. And I'm more behind the scenes. In Toronto, it was a big business. I mean, I had to spend a lot of time just doing things like talking to accountants and lawyers and running it. But I did the events in Toronto as well. And here I've learned to stay out of our back stock room because it's so small and I get in the way. So we defined our roles quite early on, and I think that's been the secret to our success, and also a very strong mutual respect that we have for each other. I mean, Ava has just been the most wonderful partner in life and in business. And also mother of three children. We worked so hard when we were in Toronto, and we really we did it on our own. And it was just through sheer hard work and perseverance, and we just...
And some good instincts to boot.
Yes, I guess so. Some good... Yeah.
Now, you are having this weekend, it's your and Ava's 10th anniversary as owners of Garcia Street Books. And so Saturday from 9:30 in the morning till 6 in the evening, you are having, what, a little celebration, a sale? What's going on at the store?
Well, it's going to be a massive store-wide sale. Check out the our ad in the Paso Tiempo this Friday, page 13. That will give the details. And it's just one day only. We just want to thank everybody by giving this sale, and we'll be on hand from beginning to end to greet our customers and to thank them for having enabled us to thrive and prosper for 10 years. It was certainly the best decision we made to buy Garcia Street Books.
And when people talk about shopping local, this is one example of the kind of store that is so very locally based and oriented towards serving this community.
Absolutely. We try to support local authors with events, and then we do some national, international authors. I'm very proud of three benefits we did in the past few months. Margaret Atwood for Wild Earth Guardians, and then Greg Mortensen. That was probably the highlight of my almost 40 years of book selling. Greg Mortensen was just wonderful, and we donated a portion of the proceeds to Pennies for Peace. And then Eve Ensler, we filled the Lenzik. That was in February. That was a last-minute thing. It came together amazingly well, and high school students performed, and we raised a lot of money again for V-Day.
Well, Ed Borns, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mary Charlotte, and thanks for all your support over our 10 years.
My pleasure. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Good Morning Jazz features the monthly New Orleans Hour.